Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And ever since last March, so nearly a year now, parents of school-age children have been understanding that this year was going to be unlike any other. That's when back in March, we got the first word that school was going to be canceled for this new flu virus that was starting to cause panic and fear across the globe, and we started seeing it happen in the United States, and in fact, Colorado, one of the first states outside of Washington State and New York, where the coronavirus really took hold. And so joining us today, talking about tips for parents and students to deal with the mental health issues that have been brought on by these changes. Today, we're pleased to be joined by Carrie Bates, who's the outreach manager for Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation, which has offices in Aurora and is available with online services throughout all of Colorado. Carrie, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me this morning.
And you understand about stress. We should mention that Carrie is a former three-time gold Olympian. I'm not sure, Carrie, if you knew, but Colorado Springs is the home of the USOC. So we consider ourselves Olympic City, USA. And but with that high-performing athleticism that you displayed, I'm sure you saw up close and experienced the effects that stress can have on people. It's more than just mental difficulties. It's also physical, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And by the way, I love Colorado Springs. I've spent a lot of time at the USOC there and done a lot of training, and I love coming to Colorado Springs. So, but yes, absolutely. You know, we are seeing, you know, at Hazel and Betty Ford right now, what we're concerned with and what we're seeing is the harm to mental health. But physical health is also directly tied to our mental health condition. And, you know, when we start talking about mental health issues, what our concern is and what we're seeing is how it does lead to substance abuse. We're seeing it in our patients. We're seeing more people suffering. And mental health struggles can directly lead to the substance use. So really, how do you mix it all together? Well, we all know that physical health is just good for not only our bodies, but our mental health. When we're out moving, when we're out exercising, it's giving us all that natural serotonin that our brains need to stay positive, have some hope, because we can have hope. COVID-19 will come to an end. Our students will go back to school. We'll start going back to work as normal, and life will resume whatever the new normal looks like. So there is hope, but the challenge that we're all facing right now is how we get there.
Right. And so much of this has been, the burden has been put on our children, depending on their age groups. You know, some right now in the Pikes Peak region are going to school just hybrid. So maybe 2 days on, 3 days at home, you know, 2 days with in-person, whereas some of the younger children, they have made efforts to bring them more back in-person with in-classroom learning. But all of this burden when kids are stuck on remote learning, it just seems to breed apathy and depression for not being around friends and things like that. What are some of the tips you can offer to parents and students who are struggling with this?
Certainly COVID-19 and social issues are contributing to the increase in depression, anxiety, substance use, and mental health issues nationally, including amongst our students. And so what we really are encouraging parents to do, because the burden does fall on the parents that are at home trying to manage now working from home, becoming teachers, having the kids home all day. So there's added stress just overall in the household, and everyone is feeling it. So what we're suggesting is push away from the computers when you can. Go outside and move with your kids. Get some energy out. Get some natural serotonin moving in the brain. Maybe create a network of their kids that are that feels safe to the family with regards to COVID-19. Maybe there's a couple families that your kids can socialize with or even switch houses. Maybe Tuesday the neighbor does schooling and Wednesdays the other neighbor does it, and then it's not always in one house. So that way parents are free to run their errands, get their jobs done, and or get some exercise to maintain their own physical and mental health.
And Carrie, you know, when parents are trying their best to motivate their kids, because sometimes even getting your kids out of the house, I speak from firsthand experience, is a difficulty. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm always trying to push my daughter to do more, whether it's, you know, do more with this remote learning or get more activity in, and hitting a brick wall. Hitting a brick wall and trying to motivate that sort of activity, which I know will be more positive in the long run, but it seems like we're stuck in a perpetual snow day where nobody's doing anything at home.
Yes, you know, I certainly hear that, and I experience it too. And what I can say is that, you know, this is a time where parents need to push harder than they ever have for the mental and physical well-being of our children and ourselves as adults, you know. And the stress of remote schooling and the reduced structure outside the class does add to the risk factors facing our youth and their families. This is a time for parents to be more hyper-vigilant with our kids' activities. Are they more secluded than normal? Are they spending more time in their bedrooms than normal? Are they sleeping longer than they normally do? You know, those are all real triggers that we have to watch out for our kids. Certainly as they move into their teen years, we have to be super hyper-vigilant about their patterns so that we can see, are they struggling with their mental health, and could there be substance use involved? You know, this is the time where kids can, with extra time on their hands, they can start venturing into things that are atypical or not necessarily part of their normal day-to-day life. So parents have to be super hyper-vigilant about these things with their kids, but we also have to be watching our own behaviors. Are we drinking that extra glass of wine at night to cope? Are we modeling to the kids that that's what we need to be able to manage our stress and our own anxiety to get through yet another day?
Right.
There's alarming statistics out there right now with the increase in sales of alcohol. Kids are venturing into their parents' medicine cabinet. Be very cognizant of what we keep in our medicine cabinets. The statistic of kids trying their first pill, opiate, things like that out of our own medicine cabinets is staggeringly high.
And Carrie, I want to talk a little bit about this and venture more into this as we continue our deep dive into the mental health challenges that are facing us all, but especially parents and kids as we move through this pandemic. We're continuing our discussion with Carrie Bates from the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation, and we'll be taking a short break. The Extra will be back after this. We're back with The Extra. Our guest today is Carrie Bates, Outreach Manager in Colorado for Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation. And she is joining us as a person who has had a measure of familiarity with Colorado Springs, being a former Olympic champion, gold medal winner in swimming. But Carrie, I also know that you bring a very personal experience with addiction to your work, as you are now in recovery and helping to counsel others who are coming to that place. So when you talk about things like how the difficulties and challenges that we're facing could unfortunately lead to substance experimentation or substance abuse, this is something of which you know well. Tell us why, I guess, these times when we're kind of isolated, we don't have a lot of structure, why these could be, you know, triggers or openings for people to, and especially teenagers, to take up that first drink or that first pill.
Absolutely. You know, even when I was 16 when I was in the Olympic Games, so I am right. I was right in that sweet spot of the kids that we're talking about today. And for me, my mental health and my started to decline even in my teen years, which ultimately led to my alcoholism later in my life. I was a little bit of a later bloomer, if you will, but not so atypical for women. You know, we're home trying to keep the house together, raise children, do our jobs, you know, manage all the household chores. And so I was a little bit of a late bloomer, if you will. But honestly, when I look back at my drinking, it really did start at a much, you know, the ramp up started from an earlier age. You know, and isolation, what we're talking about today, the isolation, the seclusion, addiction and mental health problems just thrive in that environment, right? The more isolated we are, the more substances and other unhealthy behaviors start to surface. So really the key is, how do we keep not just ourselves, but certainly our children and our youth out moving and engaged and motivated? You know, you were talking about motivation. How do we motivate them? Do we create a theme every day? Whether it's through their breakfast? Is today pajama day? Is Wednesday crazy hair day? How do we continue to keep our kids motivated and ourselves? Frankly, we can follow the same rules or the same guidelines that we're going to lay out for our children. It might sound silly, but if it's a way to keep us motivated and moving, we're really going to avoid that decline in our mental health, our physical health, and our overall well-being.
Yeah, because it doesn't, you know, I mean, for adults, it doesn't take much to get into that habit of, you know, having a drink with dinner and then having two drinks with dinner. And then all of a sudden you're in a pattern that is steadily declining downward. And with our teenagers, even though we think we're on top of them all the time, we offer them privacy, but privacy may be the last thing that they need at this time, my guess is.
Well, some privacy is obviously going to be normal and needed. You know, some kids are really they love to go play in their rooms, or teenagers, of course, are going to isolate a little bit more in their rooms. Some of that behavior is normal. The things that we have to, you know, that we have to watch for are there erratic sleeping patterns? Is there a change in appetite? Are they really disengaged, spending long periods, like overly long periods of time in their bedroom? You know, it's important as parents that we're willing to talk to our children and ask if there's a problem or if they've started using substances. You know, we live in a culture that just accepts and really promotes drinking. We, you know, there's all these, you know, sayings out there, you know, baby on the hip and wine on the lip, and I deserve this, and I've earned this drink, or, you know, I deserve to have a couple drinks. It's been a really long day. And in many cases, that's totally normal and acceptable, but it can lead us down a path that can be very dangerous. And we also have to remember that the kids are always watching us. When I struggled in my alcoholism, my children were quite young, and I didn't think that they saw and knew what I was doing, but they see everything. We are modeling for them what we can and can't manage with or without substance, and they are always watching. So it's super important for us to get in check. What are we buying into? Are we buying into those sayings of I deserve it, or I'm going to wine yoga, or any of these other types of things that are out there? You know, the liquor industry itself is really targeted towards women right now. And that's why we see such a sharp increase in women struggling with alcohol use. Skinny this, low carb that, it's everywhere, flavored, everything's flavored. It's all directly aimed towards the female consumer. Right. And we have to be diligent about it.
And women traditionally are more the caregivers, whether it's during the pandemic or not, who are staying at home, not always, but who are staying at home with the kids. And definitely, you know, child care is a huge challenge and undertaking and honor all wrapped up in one. But you can see the pitfalls there that exist if like you said, that occasional drink turns into a habit, turns into an addiction. We are talking with Carrie Bates of the Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation. She helps run the outreach here in Colorado. We are going to be taking a short break, get you that news, traffic, and weather that you need, but we'll be back with more of this version of The Extra. We're back with The Extra, our focus today talking about mental health issues during the pandemic and also the difficulties that arise when what might be the mental stress that we're under leads to issues like addiction, leads to issues like teenagers experimenting with drugs or alcohol. You were talking, Carrie, a little bit. What are some of the signs that parents should look for to know if their child is dabbling or worse?
Yeah, as we discussed just a little bit ago, you know, the main ones to look at are the erratic sleeping behaviors. Are they sleeping more during the day and they're up a lot at night, awake into the wee hours of the mornings? Do they have a lack of appetite? Have they slowed down on their eating? Have they started eating different things or eating very little? Disengaged behavior. Are they able to sit at the dinner table with you and engage in a conversation? Or are they really distracted and focused elsewhere? These are just little things that you can really keep your eye on as parents and just be willing to have those really tough. These are not easy conversations to have with our kids. They're not easy, but these are the conversations that honestly can save kids' lives.
Right. And even if they're not conversations that lead to some signal like that, that your child is not doing well, there are a lot of versions of how a child processes depression and stress. How do we as parents delve into that? Because, you know, I think, you know, as a parent of a teen myself, I think it's difficult to tell what is just the difficulties of dealing with pandemic at home learning or what is actually something that is more serious that, you know, there could be serious mental health issues.
Sure. You know, what I find is that I think we all are pretty in tune with our kids. But what we're not in tune with is how to manage and navigate through a pandemic. At least I know I haven't been. Right. Most of us have never lived through a pandemic. So we're all learning as we go. It's kind of like, you know, the fire hose method, right? We're all drinking from the fire hose and trying to figure out how we do this. What I think the most important thing is you follow your gut as a parent. You will know, your gut will tell you that something is seriously wrong with your child. And if it's depression, and or anxiety or maybe some substance use, the great news is that care and treatment and resources are so much more readily available to us in the virtual platform because of COVID that you can get help for your child or yourself as an adult. What we've found is a coordinated approach to supporting mental health and substance use concerns for students does provide the best results. We've found that many students from formal licensed professional screenings and referral processes, and a lot of times those large school districts, where the counseling staff has so many students to serve, benefit from the additional help. So, for example, Hazel and Betty Ford offers virtual mental health and substance use care virtually throughout the entire state of Colorado. And there are many providers that do that. Even one-on-one therapists and counselors, many of them have taken their practices virtual. So if you feel that your child, teen, even younger than a teenager, is struggling and you're concerned about their mental health, please do reach out for help. There's lots of free resources online now. We offer a virtual free family program. We offer a free virtual children's program. Those are for kids that have parents or caregivers that are struggling with substance use disorder and mental health. These are all listed on our website, and they're all accessible right now during the pandemic, and they're free.
Wow, what a resource. Okay, so the website, what would be the website that we should direct people to?
Yeah, I direct everybody to HazeldenBettyFord.org. And on that website, and Hazelden is spelled H-A-Z-E-L-D-E-N. And on that website, you can go to resources and also the treatment tab, and it will lay out all of these programs. There's lots of apps that we have online on the App Store, many of which are free. So please take advantage of those free resources. And also, if your child is really struggling or you as a parent is really struggling, please look for support and help, because it's very accessible. You know, we can have healthcare at our fingertips from our phone and our computers today.
Right.
So use it, because there are resources and people are struggling. We cannot continue to shove these things under the rug, because after a year of this, the rug, there's not a lot of room left under the rug, so to speak.
That is so true.
We've got to start dealing with some of these, even if it means you just give your child someone to talk to other than you. Bring in that neutral third party. Let that be your child's safe place. My teen daughters have used counselors throughout their lives, and that was their safe place. And I didn't ask questions. I trusted the professional, and I let them have their space to work through their things.
And we want to talk a little bit more about, you know, how you find that good dividing line and how to know when it's time to call in the professionals. When we continue our conversation with Carrie Bates of the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation, we're going to be continuing the discussion just in our final segment, wrap up some of these strategies and tips to pass along to families out there when the extra continues. And we're back with The Extra, our final segment, and we're pleased to be joined by Carrie Bates, who is the outreach manager for Colorado for the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation. And Carrie, we know that you know all about living in Colorado, or at least visiting Colorado. Around here, it has felt like, for many months, it has felt like Groundhog Day a bit, because, you know, especially on days when kids are stuck in hybrid learning, which for many of them is a couple of days a week still, you know, they're stuck at home. A lot of them, I know the teachers will attest to this, are not even getting out of bed. They're doing their schoolwork at home. I mean, not their schoolwork, their classroom Zoom meetings, you know, in their bed. They may be getting something to eat, maybe not getting something to eat. And for parents who are working, it's got to be even more difficult. Any strategies you can give for those parents who are the working parents with kids trying to learn at home remotely on their own?
Yes, this is an incredibly stressful time for our students as well as our parents, and certainly even those not working that are managing all of this at home, and especially for those that are working and trying to manage a job and also became teachers overnight. In Oregon, we have no in-person school, so this is happening 5 days a week here in Oregon for all the families that are in those same circumstances that you're talking about. You know, my opinion and our school of thought is that kids and adults, we all thrive on structure. We all thrive on knowing where we need to be, when we need to be there, and what task is at hand. And so what I can encourage parents to do is create, I think everyone's getting a little COVID fatigue here, right? We're getting a little tired of having to set the structure. We're tired of having to figure out how we do our job while we make sure the kids are set up to learn. And at the end of the day, all we can do is the best we can every day. And we're our own worst enemies when it comes to that. And that also contributes to our own decline in mental health, because we wind up feeling like we're not good enough. We're not good parents. we're not enough. And what do? We potentially start having a couple more drinks at night. It's a vicious cycle, and we get on that hamster wheel, and it's very difficult to get off of it. So I always say, you know, create some structure that's easy enough to manage as a parent and easy enough to follow as a child, but be gentle and kind to yourself, because nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody has this all figured out, and you need to treat yourself the way you would treat your good friend, with grace and forgiveness and kindness and all those things that we all have to practice during such a difficult time.
For me, I think the confusion is knowing when is the right time to call in for extra reinforcements, meaning, is the difficulties and challenge that you're facing right now and the frustration you're feeling, both on the part of a parent and the part of a child, is that, how do you know when it's time to, you know, turn to the professionals and try and tap into some of those professional resources? What would you say?
Sure. What I would say to that is there's really not a wrong time to call in for support. Most providers, I know Hazel and Betty Ford offers the screening and all, you know, let the professionals do the screening of your child or yourself personally. Walk through that process. Get together with a provider, whether it's virtual or if you have the luxury of doing face-to-face, and walk through your history and walk through your challenges with a provider. Let them make their professional opinion on what you or your child may need. A therapist is going to be honest with you. He or she is going to assess the situation, assess the history, and really guide you on, yes, we think your child or you can benefit from some sessions or from some treatment, or you know what, we think that it's general depression, and we recommend that you get he or her out for a little more exercise or change of diet or whatever it is that they recommend. But they are going to benefit from a formal and a licensed professional screening, and it takes that weight off the parent. Take that weight off of yourself and let a licensed professional guide you on what they think from a professional standpoint that you or your child may need.
Well, you've been a very great source of information. We'd like to thank our guest for today, Carrie Bates, who's the outreach manager for Colorado for the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation. And again, Carrie, before we leave, why don't you give that website again for people to find out more information?
Sure. It's HazeldenBettyFord.org.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for offering your insight, your expertise, and your personal experience with, stress, managing of it, and how we come out the better side, healthier mentally and physically.
Thank you so much for having me. Stay strong. There is a light at the end of the tunnel here.